Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I got a very pointed question for you. You ready?
I'm standing by.
Which one would you rather watch tonight? Would you rather watch Victor Wembanyama?
Bing bong, bing bong,
boom. Would you rather watch Victor Wembanyama or would you rather watch Shohei Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani.
See, I agree. And Lima said before, he's like, I'm watching Wemby. I was like, but it's...
Now, if you told me...
First week of the season.
Yeah, I know. If you told me Ohtani was pitching, then I'm dialed in all game.
Hit three home runs and three at-bats.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're only going to get to see him four or five times, and now...
That's the problem. The anticipation.
Will he even see any good pitches? Like, with Wemby, the ball's going to be in his hands. He is a monster on both ends of the floor, and he's the biggest freak I've ever seen in the sport.
Boy, you in baseball, you just suck.
I watched the World Series last year.
Well, apparently you're not going to because Victor Wembanyama's playing in his second game of the season. Hi, Daryl.
I'm sorry you have to deal with this for 4 hours a day, Ken.
Well, it's just silly. I mean, he's allowed to love basketball. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, come on, man. It's a World Series.
It's just the thing that always stinks with me in baseball is that you just don't get the opportunities to see stars be stars. They just get very few opportunities.
But that's
in the NBA, they get the whole game.
Well, and Shohei's coming off one of the most incredible games in
ever.
Major League Baseball playoff history, if not ever.
He's not pitching tonight.
So what? 10 strikeouts, 3 home runs in a clincher?
So every 30 minutes, I'll flip over and watch him take pitches for 90 seconds.
Well, I'm sorry. I just can't watch the World Series tonight because, you know, Saga Pulitelli, P.O.'s nephew, is going to be playing for Cal.
That's
against
right.
Virginia Tech at 7:30. And, I mean, he's the star of Cal, so he's always going to have the ball in his hands. So I have to watch that kid over Shohei freaking Ohtani. Like, I'm a football guy. Do you know how stupid that would sound if I was serious?
By the way, I'm shocked at Owen's take on this. Like, he's
yeah, I'm actually
Guardians
more
guy.
I'm more Wimby than I am the World Series right now. I'd much rather watch that. Yeah.
You'd rather watch Wemby?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, I like...
And I just bitched at Anthony yesterday. It's not fair. He shouldn't be allowed to call it a dunk because he doesn't jump off the floor. He just puts his hands up and puts the ball through the net.
It does seem unfair. I will say this. Like, the baseball, the pomp and circumstance, all that stuff, for you know, the beginning of the World Series. That is cool. That is a really cool thing. And it is kind of a bummer that the World Series, when I was young, was the biggest deal.
That's fair.
Going. And now it's like, Kenny, there will be people that will. They'll choose that college football game over the World Series. Well, yeah, that's sacrilegious compared to what it was when I was young.
I don't understand how. One's got an interim head coach. The other one, I mean, I know a lot. Here, I could give you a whole Cal versus Virginia Tech breakdown if I want to, but I'm going to watch Shohei Ohtani.
Well, Cavs also play tonight.
Yeah, that's true. Forgot
to play the Nets. Wow. Damn it.
Well, that wasn't part of the argument.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of the argument.
No, it wasn't.
I forgot during the argument that they do play the Nets tonight. All right, Daryl, let's get down to the football here. Could Sunday be make or break for Dylan Gabriel, friend?
I don't know about that. I mean, they're not even giving Shedeur Sanders first team reps. So I think for me, like if they start giving Shedeur Sanders first team reps in practice, that will be the attention grabber.
Well, why would
so
they
no.
give a guy who's going to be a backup the first team any first team reps in practice when he didn't get a whole? I mean, he still didn't get a whole lot of first team reps. Dylan Gabriel didn't before, so you're kind of playing catch up, and you got to try to win a football game against somebody.
Dylan was getting first team reps in OTAs.
I know, but he still didn't get as much as some of the other guys did.
But still, like, I mean, Joe Flacco was here, and they found ways to get Dylan Gabriel reps in practice for that. I mean, just saying, like, they're not giving Shedeur the same type of treatment when it comes to reps that they gave Dylan Gabriel.
But isn't that part of the
part of getting ready for a football game that you're trying to win?
Yeah, like Daryl, isn't that situation different?
If you can give Dylan Gabriel first team reps with Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback and Dylan's your backup, then why can't you do that with Shedeur?
Joe's been doing it for 1,000 years. Dylan Gabriel's just starting his career. He needs everything he can get when he's getting ready to start a football game.
Okay.
Well, do you think, Daryl, that it's telling that they're not giving Shedeur any of those reps?
Yeah, I do.
You think that's telling?
Yeah, I think you get. I mean, what if something happens to Dylan on Sunday? And obviously, I don't want to think in those negative terms, but you're asking questions. Do you really think Shador's ready to step on the field and take that thing over without having a single first team rep?
I don't think I'd have a whole lot of excitement, or I shouldn't say I'd be excited. I don't.
You
think
guys,
I'd...
you guys wanted him out there for the final drive last week.
Yeah, to hand the effing ball off, Daryl. I didn't say I wanted him to go conduct an offense and go win the game.
I wanted to do a quick kick.
And by the way,
you know what? Dylan Gabriel put together a touchdown drive against the Ravens with the game out of hand. He didn't turn and hand the effing ball off, if I'm quoting you correctly.
Yeah, you can quote me. Go ahead and quote it. You can print it. Because all I wanted him to do was hand the ball off, and then all Lima had to say was, yeah, you want Dylan Gabriel to finish the game that he won. Hey, you know what? That's a great point. I would have stood down, except Lima, as he does, used my words against me and turned it into a great big fight that everybody got to rip me for. And you know what, guys? Rightfully so, because I never thought about that, and I got involved in the argument, and I was wrong. But I'm not wrong against you here, Daryl. I will fight you to kingdom come all up and down Euclid Avenue if I want to, because I wouldn't have much confidence. I'd be excited, but I wouldn't have much confidence. I'd be very nervous because I'm going to go ahead and take what Rap Sheet wrote and say that, yeah, they're going to have to change around the offense whenever he goes to start. So it didn't make much sense to me when they told that to Ian Rappaport, or they leaked it to Ian Rappaport, yeah. And now all of a sudden he's the backup quarterback who would go in before Bailey Zappi. Why? Because they don't want to get yelled at by the big bad media? Is that it? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
They don't want to wake up and turn on the radio and listen to you guys yelling and kicking and screaming about it.
Wouldn't have. I tried to get everybody ready to say, guys, they're telling you that the offense is going to be different, so it would make sense that Bailey Zappi would be the backup quarterback. And I thought a lot of us had agreed to it, accepted it, not agreed to it, but accepted it. And then they make him the primary backup quarterback. I go, that's not setting him up for success if you just told me 4 days ago that you're going to have to change the offense around for the guy.
Well, if you're going to change the offense around, and by changing the offense around, we're talking about throwing passes beyond 20 yards, sign me up.
Well, that is still going to be a problem here coming up on Sunday, because that's why I bring up the Dylan Gabriel thing, Daryl, because I just think he's going to have to play well for them to have a chance to beat the Patriots. There's no Dolphins situation here. He's going to have to play pretty well.
Yeah, and I don't know that the dink and dunk offense that we watched the last 3 weeks is going to get it done either. You know, the Patriots are one of the best at stopping the run. They're ranked third overall. They give up less than 3 point yards per carry. I don't think they've allowed a 50-yard rusher. They don't give up explosives in the run game. Now, there's a first for everything, and that's why you play the games. But, you know, these are the facts. And at some point, Dylan Gabriel is going to have to show you that he's capable of doing more than just checking the football down. I'm of the mindset, and I've said this on other shows this week, let it rip. And if he throws picks, he throws picks. At some point, we need to find out whether or not this kid can play. I personally don't think he can. I think he's a career backup in the making, and there's nothing wrong with that being a third-round pick. He's not a franchise quarterback. He's not a starter, a regular starter in my mind. He's a spot starter. So let's find out. And again, if he throws some picks, he throws some picks, but let's see some throws down the field. Let's see him go through read progressions and you know, try and throw guys open down the field and whatnot. Because, you know, you can say what you want about the receivers, but I can't imagine it's fun being in that room when, you know, you're running all these routes and you got a quarterback that can't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field.
All right, Daryl, obviously this is the Mike Vrabel game, and I've seen some people critical of the Browns or, you know, the organization or even the owner that they let Vrabel get out the door, but there was not a job opening. So
right.
Do you think that the Browns should be criticized the way they were with Kyle Shanahan?
No, it's a completely different situation. He came here just to, you know, no disrespect, but he came here to fill some time. He wanted something to do. And he, you know, did a little work with the front office. He coached the tight ends, ended up having to coach the offensive line for the bulk of last season as well. But, you know, and Kevin Stefanski touched on it earlier this week when he was asked about having the confidence to bring Mike Vrabel in and not worrying about looking over his shoulder and being concerned with Vrabel taking his job from him. And, you know, Kevin talked about their friendship and the trust that they have between them. He's also talked about as far as advantage, disadvantage. He's like, hey, he was here for a year. I got to know him. And obviously, he got to know me. So I think, you know, in Stefanski's eyes, that's pretty much a bit of a wash. I am concerned to see if, curious, I should say, to see if there is a tangible advantage that you can see on the field during Sunday's game with Vrabel being here the last year. But yeah, there was no job opening. He was, you know, filling time, looking for something productive to do in the game while collecting his severance pay from the Tennessee Titans. Can't blame him for that. Now he's running the show up in New England. But no, it's a much different situation. I'm pretty sure there was not a PowerPoint presentation involved in his exit interview or whatnot. He was not begging to get out of here. You know, it's not like they just put, you know, replace Brian Hoyer with Johnny Manziel. I think that those situations are completely different.
Daryl Rutter, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Did you see the video of Miles' pregame speech?
No, I didn't.
We have the audio for you very shortly here if you'd like to hear that. Would you like to hear that?
Sure.
Because I have a question about leadership I'd like to ask you. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, we had the backup quarterback last year giving the pregame speeches because the starter couldn't do it. So,
ladies and gentlemen, Miles Garrett. Listen closely, Daryl.
Coach, keep on telling us to have some fun. Have some fun. Only way I know I have some fun is winning. That's the only way out. Nobody having fun when we losing. Nobody having fun walking back to the locker room down. Clock zero, we down. Nobody likes that. So take that personal. That's the only way I know I have some fun. Take that personal. What somebody asked? Finish. Win. Every quarter. Do that. Let's go. Win 03. 1, 2, 3.
Audio courtesy NFL. That's another thing that Lima tried to use my words against me. I asked him simple questions. He turned it into me giving a theory. Because I do think that this is part of the frustration with Miles. I do think at times he's flirted with the idea of being a leader. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's ever been able to carry it out fully because there's other things in terms of being a leader. It's more than just rah-rah speeches and things like that. We've talked about it so many times. But I also don't think it's too late for him to be a leader. He's still at the peak of his powers physically and on the field. And if he wanted to, It would be a very welcome thing, considering that this team has been more than willing in the past and looks like they still could be more than willing even after a win over the Dolphins. More than willing to just settle on into a nice, terrible season and let things go to hell the way they have so many times in the past. And a guy like Miles could certainly help change that feeling and perhaps help change the culture.
I agree with you, and especially after what Miles had said leading up to that game about his frustration, and even if they beat the Dolphins, not being satisfied with that, wanting to develop consistent winning here in Cleveland. And, well, yeah, you can make a difference in that, Miles, beyond just racking up sacks and tackles for loss and quarterback pressures and quarterback hits. But you have to want to do it. Leadership is not something you can force. And I always feel like, and I have said this for years and years and years, the Browns have, it felt like, tried to manufacture leadership within their locker room. And leadership has to come organically. And if that pregame speech is just kind of part of that process for him to take over that mantle, because look, who's going to argue with Myles Garrett? Nobody. When he speaks, everybody listens. Young players come in and talk about wanting to follow his example. So, yeah, I feel like that there is a little bit of a vacuum, a little bit of a void. And it would be great if Miles sincerely wants to step into that role. And, that's a pretty good pregame speech. And, again, it aligned with a lot of the things he had talked to us about the previous Friday.
Daryl, 30 seconds. Garrett Wilson, go.
I'm all for anything that makes this team better, and I think he would do that. They've got to find some way to infuse this offense with talent. Andrew Berry's very good at trading for wide receivers, and I don't foresee the Browns, with the trade deadline coming up, I don't see them collecting assets. I think that Andrew Berry will be looking for opportunities to improve the roster, both in the short and the long term, and I think Garrett Wilson would give them an opportunity to do that.
Daryl, thank you for the time. We laughed, we cried, we hated each other for a moment. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
Enjoy Victor tonight there, Lima.
Going up against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Wow.
That big old Spurs-Pelicans rivalry. Who can miss that?
What a great matchup there. I got to see that.
It's just don't appreciate fine basketball.
Appointment television.
The Pelicans and fine basketball, you say?
I'd say Wembanyama is fine basketball.
Cleveland Cavaliers are a team that could...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Afternoon Drive, Danny Cannell coming up in about 40 minutes. We've decided Jake Murren's going to send out the video of what happened in that last segment. I'm just warning you guys. Don't play it in front of fertile people. I'm just going to tell you it's going to have an impact on the society. But the video happened. It's going to be out there on afternoon 923 FAN. I even downloaded it from what Jake sent us to send it for Vanessa.
I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
Oh, I think she will absolutely appreciate it.
I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
A little encouragement, right? A little bit of something to think about, right? On a good, beautiful day like today.
Wow. I mean, her reaction might be, you're going to have all these thoughts in your DMs now.
That's true. And then
your DMs might just get flooded with people now.
We can finally have the segment thoughts for thoughts.
Yeah, well, we've been flirting with that for a long time.
That's true. But we need a reason to have thoughts for thoughts. And then, you know, is it THOTS for thoughts, or is it thoughts for thoughts?
So now we know.
You just never know.
You enjoy getting shirtless on television,
yeah,
or YouTube, rather.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the chest that God has given me as a broad-chested, hairy man.
Oh, we've been trying to think of like different like Filippone-type bets that you could do. You could do the Steve Carell from 40-Year-Old Virgin and get the chest hair, and you get that waxed, mm-hmm, and have that just taken off on YouTube. The no, Kelly Clarkson, yeah, that moment. You get that going.
Yeah, but I like my chest hair.
Oh, okay.
My chest hair is the equivalent of Mac Robinson's actual hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a, people say it's right up there. He's got a great head of lettuce on top of his hair. I clearly am gifted with just a broad chest and beautiful.
Markovich, he's not taking it out again.
Yeah.
Stop asking him to. It's seriously a one per show rule. Yeah. He's not taking it out again.
Yeah, we're not
jeez, Markovich.
We're not thirsty, okay? We just like to reward our friends viewing on YouTube.
Yeah,
there.
That's the reward. Yeah,
that's the reward.
Yeah, some people, yeah, you know, they give out different rewards. That's
true.
Our reward that we
that's
give
true.
You.
That's
at this
well,
point, that's all we can offer.
For now. We'll figure out more rewards. We're only like 2 weeks into the YouTube thing on our show, so we'll figure it out.
And I don't even really have chest hair, so I can't even offer that up.
Can't wait to see Midday try and steal that bit from us. Now,
I don't think Ken's going to get shirtless. I think we're okay.
No, Midday show.
Oh, Midday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you ask Phelps to get shirtless. He's excited to go.
I was thinking more Baskin. Baskin, I think, you can see it in his eyes. He's down to clown.
I think Baskin's got like a Travis Kelce-esque rug.
I guarantee you he shaves his chest.
Baskin?
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Why would any guy shave their chest? It perplexes me.
I guarantee you Lima does it.
Lima does it?
I guarantee you. Kidding me?
Again, why?
He's hairless. Like below the eyebrows.
Just so
there's
much,
no hair.
So much effort, it feels like.
You're not wrong.
For who?
For the people. Whoever they may be.
Maybe that's a bad reflection on me. Because aren't you supposed to like consistently be trying to impress your wife in many ways? Like you're constantly like trying to make sure that she still stays like, hey, I still find you attractive. And when it comes to that stuff, we're good here.
Yeah.
She's not going to change her mind based off of chest hair.
Right, so we learned, Jonathan, not a fan of manscaping. Found that one out today. I think every other show. I
chest hair to even do the manscaping thing, though. Maybe that's where the problem is.
Yeah, it was the Ken thing I wasn't sure about. But Lima, total manscaper. And Baskin, yeah, bald as a China doll. Shaven.
Like it's the 1970s. All right, get after it.
Now, this is a little PSA time for our buddy Kevin Stefanski.
Okay.
Coach, we bonded over Pearl Jam. You don't like the right Pearl Jam, but we bonded over Pearl Jam, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to mug the camera.
Wait, even his Pearl Jam selection suck?
No, it doesn't suck. It's just the eponymous album in 2006 is better than the No Code or Binaural or the other albums that he prefers because they were on. They came out when he was in college. Understandable. I got to say, I think the eponymous album in 2006, vastly underrated. Now, I digress. Coach, I've said some things, all right? Some of which I've taken back, most of which I haven't taken back. I haven't taken anything back. This being said, you have a chance to do something on Sunday, and you can really go down two roads. One involves trying to play a game commensurate with winning and keeping the game close. The other has a possibility to turn into a blowout, and if it turns into a blowout, the blood will be on your hands. So when this comes to Sunday's game, do not abandon the run and do not have Dylan Gabriel throw more than 45 times in this game. If you do, you do not like the roads that open up with Dylan throwing 45 or more times in this game, a la the Pittsburgh game. I know they're going to stop you. They're going to bottle you up on first and 10, right? You might have to get creative with some of the runs you use. I understand this. Keep your identity with Quinshon Judkins, even as they bottle you up, see if you can break down that run defense over time. There, PSA done.
PSA done, but we all know the reality here and the reality of the situation. I don't know that Stefanski will be able to limit himself and his desire to try to make Dylan Gabriel have the best Dylan Gabriel game possible. The setup is there, and he plays matchups more than he plays, we have a great running back and we need to make sure that he cooks. Patriots' run defense is awesome. Their pass defense is absolutely awful. And so I think he's just going to look at it the way he's looked at this the entire time. What do they do best? Okay, we're going to veer away from that. I think you are. I'm just trying to prepare you. I've been trying to prepare you all week. Get yourself mentally ready. And Browns fans out there, get yourself mentally ready as well. He is not going to use Quinshon the way that you want him to use Quinshon on Sunday.
So listen, I understand that there is some give here, right? I'm not saying you have to run as many times you did against Miami. You got an early lead there, and then you kept getting a bigger lead. Totally get it. What I am saying is, if Quinshon doesn't have 18-plus carries on Sunday, one of two things has happened. Either they just got ahead and you got to a point where you were really trying to play from behind, at which point you shouldn't have abandoned the run. Or two, you overthought it, decided to go in, thinking pass with Dillon Gabriel, taking a pea shooter to a bazooka fight, mm-hmm. and you shouldn't have abandoned the run. This is why I'm so glad we're having the conversation today, because I don't have to wait for it to happen. I'm saying preemptively, we see it from a mile away.
I know, and you're ready to get mad. I know you're going to have to get mad here.
But here's the thing.
Because I think we all know how this is going to go down. We watched too many Stefanski games to know how this goes down.
I think you're right. So I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with Kevin. Kevin, you saw the formula. When you've run this year, you've won, or at least you've been more competitive. You cannot get into Drake May versus Dillon Gabriel. And I understand that the segue here, some of the gray area is, well, what if we do short passing and sort of use it in lieu of the run game? The problem is, you already do short passing for your short passing game. You already do short passing for your regular passing game.
If
you could push it beyond the sticks five times, maybe we could fool them with the whole, let's throw it in the flat, or, it'd be great, here a screenplay.
They know it's coming. Did you watch the Patriots-Titans game at all last week? And if you say no to this, that's perfectly acceptable. I'm not expecting you to have watched that game.
I did not.
Okay, good. Cam Ward in that game. Cam Ward having a miserable season. Some people have actually propped it up next to Dillon Gabriel's to suggest that Dillon Gabriel's having a better year than Cam Ward. That's how bad he's been. Started that game off 10 for his first 11 in the completion category. Like Stefanski's going to look at that. Someone as bad as Cam Ward, and you see the teams that they played and some of these bad quarterbacks that the Patriots have played, and some of these bad quarterbacks like Cam Ward have been able to cook early in these games against New England because they can't stop the pass at all. And I think he's so ready to try to prove to people that Dillon Gabriel is good at this, he's not going to be able to resist the obvious.
Okay, then you know what? I'll even do this. All right, I'm spinning the wheel of possibilities. All right, you're going to abandon the run with Quinshon Judkins. Don't damn do it. All right, but even if you do it, then that kid better throw the ball down the field. Because so help me God, if you abandon Quinshon Judkins in this game, and I have to watch another game where that young quarterback, that Timo Tua, leaves multiple touchdowns takes him off the board in lieu of a tuck it and run for 4 yards, it's not going to be his ass on Monday. It's your ass. Like, listen, Mike Tomlin already showed you. The league has it on film. They get what you're going to do. And if they push back just a little bit on the run game, you're going to abandon it. So how about for once, you stick your feet in the dirt and actually do the thing?
I think we just see how this is going to go, though. Listen, I'd love if you were right, but we wanted that in the Steelers game, too, and you saw he can't resist himself.
He's got to learn from that.
I have no confidence in him that he'll be able to resist himself.
Yes, he can.
Most coaches, I might have confidence there. I've lost confidence in Stefanski in the ability to resist the matchups.
He's too smart. He has to fight the arrogance, all right? Run the damn ball. And you're not running it just to score points. You're running it for the effect of running the ball. And if you do that for 3 quarters and your defense plays the way we think your defense can play, that should get you to a point where eventually you can break the dam. Like if you look, like, okay, yes, they are the second best run defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
And also look at the teams they've played. It's not like they're going up against Derrick Henry in their prime. It's not like the Patriots defense has faced a murderer's row of running backs that they haven't faced Jahmyr Gibbs and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, just in yards per game, they are 24th in passing yards allowed per game. They're third in rushing yards per game.
And look at the teams they've played. Look at the running backs they've played.
I know, and look at the quarterbacks that are bad, that they've been able to actually move the football against the Patriots. This is the problem.
But those quarterbacks throw the ball down the field. Yours doesn't.
This is where Stefanski's going to let him, I think, do that. And I'm not advocating for this in any way. I'm telling you, I don't think Stefanski can resist this opportunity to let Dylan Gabriel potentially have the best game that we've seen Dylan Gabriel have.
I think you're right. So again, we're not really arguing with each other.
Oh, no, we're not. No,
you're saying what you think is going to happen, and I say I agree that that's going to happen. But
you're trying to persuade him before we get the game underway.
And I'm saying it's the most avoidable dumb-dumb. It's not a dumb-dumb move. He's not a dumb-dumb. But it's the most avoidable, arrogant move. Yes, there are times, most of the time, you should do matchup-based planning. I understand that. This ain't it. Not with this quarterback, not in start four, not with this offensive line. And if you do it, it better work out. Because this is a very simple test of, are you going to fall back on the one thing you've done well this year, no matter who you face? Because if you don't and you lose, or if you don't and you get blown out, this loss, all the goodwill, all the get right of the Miami game suddenly gets counteracted with this.
If he can't. Like, if he tries to go with that plan and Dylan Gabriel can't push the ball down the field, can't open up the field in any sort of way, and looks lost against this Pats defense, cooked. Cooked like a rotisserie chicken. It's over. I mean, that's it. Like, thankfully, it's right before the bye week then, because I don't know what else Stefanski would need to see.
216-474-0092. So the conversation we're working towards here is, does this have to be a Dylan Gabriel game? And the two roads for me are, no, it doesn't, because that's not what this is with this offense. But if you go down that road, that kid better throw for 250 yards, two tutties, and no interceptions. It better be the best I've seen from Dylan Gabriel. Because if it's not, this is just like the Pittsburgh thing again, where Mike Tomlin came in, called your bluff, said, go ahead and run. Then you ran, 10 touches for Quinshon, and then you bailed. You cannot do that twice. At some point, you have to. The lessons the NFL's imparting on you, you got to either learn them, or you got to overcome whatever thing they think you can't do.
I think Stefanski's salivating at the mouth to get after this pass defense of New England. Geno Smith, who's looked just awful this year, threw for 362 and looked like he knew what he was doing. Looked like he had a clue against this Patriots pass defense. I mentioned Cam Ward and the hot start that he had. Like, go up and down the list. Like, this team has made bad quarterbacks look competent and, dare I say, good. And I think Stefanski is chomping at the bit to have Dylan Gabriel have one of those type games.
If early you want to use the pass to open up the run, that is not the worst idea. It's about, what are you doing for four quarters if the pass doesn't start to work out? Because if you have commitment to an atrocious passing game on Sunday and you cannot commit to a strong run game, which has been your only salvation this year, you're telling on yourself. And honestly, here's where this is not heavy handed to say. At some point, you're betraying those guys in the locker room. You have to, if you're going to go against the grain on this, or not even go against the grain, if you're going to go in what people think you're going to do, it better damn succeed. 216-474-0092. Does this have to be a Dylan Gabriel game? I do not disagree with Jonathan that it probably feels.
I mean, Tua like, threw for 300 against his Patriots defense.
I almost said Patriots.
That would have been fun, too.
I'll tell you, a good Patriots. Oh, man, I'd root for that
team.
So
this week, we've called him England instead of New England and also hit him with the Patriots.
Hey, you only get that here on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app and catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sunday from 11 to 1 p.m. leading you right up to the kickoff on the BetMGM network right there on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
What's going on, guys? How are we doing today? Happy Thursday.
Yeah, no news going on in the world today about the NBA or anything.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups being arrested by the FBI for various betting offenses. The Rozier one actually seems to be, like, obviously, like, he's directly influencing things on the court where he's dribbling the ball off his knee, reportedly, and there are videos of this all over social media where Rozier is potentially, and, like, the NBA did investigate him and clear him, so I'm fascinated to see how this is going to play out.
I thought that was interesting, too, yes.
Yeah, where we'll see about Terry Rozier, like, did this happen, did it not happen? Just an accusation for now, and for whatever it's worth, maybe nothing. Terry Rozier's attorney just put out a statement saying basically that, you know, he was cleared by the NBA and the FBI, like, basically had a photo op here today of them perp walking Terry Rozier when he was cleared by the NBA. So we'll see on that one. The Billups one, to me, has, like, it's grouped in because it's illegal, because it's a great headline. Like, sitting head coach arrested for illegal gambling. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with sports betting. Like, he's in the Tony Soprano executive card game. Like, it's a poker game, like, that has the mafia involved. It's like something out of a movie, but, like, it's not sports betting. Like, he's not betting on the Blazers. He's not betting against them. So, to me, like, that story and the Rozier story are only related in the sense that they're both involved in the NBA, and that both of them are involved in illegal gambling. But the Billups one, again, is poker. Like, it's not sports betting. So I don't want to say, like, it's being misreported. Like, it's sensationalizing for headlines. I would do the same thing if I were these outlets, because it's really eye-catching, right? And it's really interesting. I don't want to say it's much ado about nothing, because it is more than that. But I kind of think it's going to be business as usual moving forward. And maybe I'm pie in the sky, but that's my opinion.
And we're still waiting to kind of see exactly how Billups might be tied to all this whole thing. You know, we know he was arrested, but we don't know maybe what role he played or was accused of playing.
It seems to me, again, with the information that's out there now, and things can and I'm sure will change, that Billups is involved, like, with the mafia, like, these are their words, not mine, with like an illegal poker game, which I'm sure is, like, a really high-risk poker game that, like, you are not allowed to do these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. It's not that he's betting on the NBA or that he's influencing his team to win or lose. Again, like, maybe that comes out. But right now, like, that's not what this is. So, like, okay, great. Like, you can't do that. But to group him with Terry Rozier kind of makes it seem like they're doing the same thing, and the initial reporting says that that's actually not accurate as far as Chauncey Billups goes.
Hmm. I don't, you know, we talk about this all the time, and obviously this is your business, but it also seems like it's so much easier for the leagues to be able to follow the money trail to see Correct. When there's a bump, because they're now, I mean, a lot of people might say, well, they shouldn't have legalized gambling, they shouldn't have, but I mean, to me, it seems like that they've made it easier to find corruption because they've said, okay, we're going to embrace this and we want to let our fans be able to do it, but we don't want our employees to do it.
Yeah, look, I mean, like the John Tay Porter thing, right? Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reason why that got flagged is because there were, like, tons of bets being placed on these really small specific markets, moving the market, and then all the bets won. Like, if it were not, and this is not me, like, caping up for legalized sports betting, just, like, it's the truth. That because sports betting is legal, it's way easier to find out when stuff like this is actually happening. And people out there listening can get really mad about that. Like, it's the truth. And look, like let's call a spade a spade. Like, I'm sure there are some aspects of legalized sports betting that are really bad. Like if people, like young people are betting on sports, like obviously that should not be happening. It's why like we're really careful on my show. Bet responsibly. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Like if you have an issue, like these are all things that are true, right? Like they, like there are potential issues here, but like what's, it's a slippery slope. Okay. Let's ban alcohol. Like, let's, like, why is marijuana legal?
Yeah, we tried all
this stuff. And this is not me. I'm not trying to extol the virtues of it. It's not all good. And I'm not ostrich head in the sand about it. Just that I think, like, it becomes a slippery slope where it's like, okay, great. This shouldn't be legal. Then, like, why is alcohol legal? Then, like, do away with everything. And, like, let's have a Puritan society and, like, okay, fine. But I think people are kind of, like, picking and choosing here. And, again, like, the Billups thing is not a sports betting thing right now. And that's the most high-profile one. So let's kind of see what happens, and maybe that changes or more names come out. And maybe this is far more wide-reaching than I ever thought. The last thing that I'll say on this is this kind of activity has been going on well before sports betting was legal and will be going on for all of eternity because everyone's always looking, not everybody, but some people are always looking for an edge and looking for an extra way to make a quick buck. And this is obviously somewhere where you can make that happen. So there you go.
Well said.
Let me just ask you one more quick question. Do you think the leagues are going to take a deeper dive into prop bets and maybe ask their partners to say, hey guys, let's chill out on these prop bets because they're just too easy. Does that make sense?
Easy to manipulate.
Easy to manipulate.
Yeah. I don't have a good answer to that question. I would say probably not. I feel like it's a huge moneymaker.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's within the realm of possibility. My sense is, and I can be wrong, that you would need more than just this to happen. Like, I think you would need, like, LeBron to get arrested. Or, like, Patrick Mahomes to get arrested. And I'm not implying that that would ever happen.
Right.
I'm just saying. I think that you need something, like, worse than Terry Rozier dribbling the ball off his knee in, like, the fourth quarter of a blowout to be like, okay, like, we're going to overhaul all of this. I think there's, candidly, and look, like, this is not a political statement. Like, guns are very, just not political. Guns are very divisive, but it's a billion-dollar industry. And when there's money involved, there's always reticence to change things. Same thing with alcohol. Same, marijuana is a huge moneymaker for these states. Like, when there's so much money involved in a capitalist society, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, just saying, like, I'm kind of hesitant to say, like, there's going to be a sweeping overhaul until something more significant happens. I hope that what I'm saying is fair and people understand that it's not a political charged comments.
So all that said, how do you like the Browns in New England this week against the Patriots?
Yeah, it's a great question, right? So New England looks awesome. Drake May looks awesome. They've won three straight road games. They've covered all the spreads in these games. Coming home, a 7-point favorite against the Browns. I thought Mike Vrabel, guys, Patriots head coach, said something very interesting yesterday when talking to the press, and it's something that we had talked about on Tuesday's edition of my show, You Better You Bet, which is okay, great. Like, we all think Drake May is awesome. I don't even think that's up for debate. Like, he's a great young quarterback, has the potential to be like a top five level quarterback. So we can acknowledge that that is true and that the Patriots have been impressive, and also say that the Cleveland Browns defense is going to be, by orders of magnitude probably, the best defense that the Patriots will have placed. Week one, Raiders, terrible defense. Week two, Dolphins, terrible defense. Week three, Steelers, like, probably terrible defense. Week four, Panthers. Week five, Bills, can't stop the run. Week six, Saints. Week seven, Titans. The Browns are by far the best defense they face. Now, maybe the Patriots are just good enough to be able to win this game by margin. I would probably opt towards taking it. It's not one of my favorite bets, and I haven't bet it yet. If I had to bet the game, honestly, I'd actually think I'd take the points with the Browns and trust the Browns defense to be able to hold down Drake May and this Patriots offense.
I'm looking at this matchup between the Browns and the Patriots too, and I'm trying to get a little bit deeper into it. And you try to look at the AFC North in general, and that's kind of where I want you to go with this too, is when you size it up, look, if Green Bay pulls off the win at Pittsburgh, which I didn't realize they haven't done since Bart Starr was quarterback, if Green Bay pulls off the win at Pittsburgh, all of a sudden, and say the Browns do get a win at New England, man, no. That AFC North that's not going to happen?
Okay. For the Browns?
Well, no, what I'm saying is it changes, I know you're saying that, but doesn't it change the look of the AFC North when the Browns are like, you're literally a game and a half behind the Steelers now.
Yes and no. So, like, if the Browns win and the Steelers lose, then, like, yes, mathematically what you're saying is correct, that they will be X number of games back in the standings. I'm not trying to be, like, the wet blanket here,
sure,
or, like, throw cold water on people trying to have fun. But, look, like, I try to give objective analysis. I don't think the Browns want to win. Like, okay, so they're not tanking. I'm not insinuating that the players are trying to lose or the coaches are trying to lose. I said it since before the start of the season. I think it's pretty obvious that organizationally the team is playing for 2026 and beyond, and I actually think that's smart. So I don't even mean that as a criticism. How the hell is a team quarterback by Dylan Gabriel getting over the hump? And, like, you can think that's mean, and that's fine. Like, I'm calling it like I see it. I am unwilling to entertain a possibility that the Browns win the division. I can be wrong. I guess crazier things have happened. Yes, like, the AFC North can constrict a little bit and tighten a little bit, and maybe you could have some hope that the Browns could make a run. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't even want to entertain, like, a scenario where it does happen. I think it's so far outside the realm of something that's actually normal that could exist that I don't even really want to discuss it. You can make a case for the three other teams. I don't think you can make a case for the Browns. And if I'm wrong, and like 3 weeks, 6 weeks down the road, that's not the case, I will gladly come on this show, my show, and every other show I'm on and say I was wrong. I will say it if I'm wrong. I think I'm going to be right.
We will make a Baskin and Phelps t-shirt that we will make you wear. We don't have any, but if we do.
Yeah, if we ever come up with one, you're getting one.
Yeah, otherwise, you win a free bag of air, like all of our other colors.
I will wear it, and it can say, like, Nick Costos was wrong, and underneath the Baskin and Phelps show logo. I will wear it for you guys.
The Cavaliers went to New York last night and lost to the Knicks. Did we learn anything from one game where a bunch of guys were injured?
Yeah, so I'd say this about just what I'd say about the Knicks. I don't know if we learned. We're not going to learn about the Cavs until the playoffs. I think Cleveland is going to be like the one or the two seed in the East, pending health. They're going to win a ton of games. Like, they're awesome, right? The Cavs are awesome. But, you know, like, when they get into crunch time in a big playoff series, Indiana won't be there, obviously, this year. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of reservations for people, I'm sure, Cleveland and otherwise sports bettors. You know, do you trust the Cavaliers to win a big playoff series with the way some of these past series have gone? So for Cleveland, I'm reticent to say kind of like we learned something about the Cavs last night. Like, okay, like, they lost on the road at a team that's also really good. I don't think that's like a big black mark against the Cavs. I don't think we'll learn about the Cavs, unfortunately, until we get to like the second rounds of the playoffs. I do think we learned something about the Knicks, and I don't want to make this like too Knicks-centric on a Cleveland show, but I think there is like a Cleveland tie-in given that the Knicks coach is a former Cavs coach and Mike Brown. I do like the new look of this Knicks offense. They played 11 guys in the first 13 minutes of the game, which obviously runs in contrast to Tom Thibodeau running the starters into the ground. I thought this was an excellent first game for Mike Brown as the coach of the Knicks. I think these are clearly the two best teams in the East that played last night. Does the fact that the Knicks won mean they're better than the Cavs? No, but as a Knicks fan, I'm happy with how it went. I would not panic at all if I were a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, Darius Garland didn't play, Mitchell Robinson didn't play, Josh Hart didn't play. The Cavs will be just fine moving forward.
All right. Thank you very much, Nick. We look forward to inventing our own t-shirt to hopefully maybe you'll have to wear that. That would mean the ultimate in optimism. Say goodbye, my friend.
Yeah, and I will wear that shirt. If the Browns win the AFC North, I will gladly say I was wrong. Everyone minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very
I was going to say you have to wear the shirt for a month straight and not take it off. How's that sound?
Well, I'm married, so you'd have to have a conversation with my wife.
Oh, that's true. You have kids, too. All right. Say it again. Say goodbye one more time. Sorry.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thank you, Nick. We always appreciate you.
Thanks.
Take care, bud.
You're going to have a backup, I'm sure, on I-90 eastbound.
All right, come on. Fingers crossed, Ken. We've had five straight days of major backups because of a wreck on 90 coming in with the multiple construction projects going in. Now, there's no rain this morning. So
yeah, there was rain this morning. What are you talking about?
It wasn't raining when I
drove through rain.
It rained when I came in.
And he's coming in from the west side, too. What are you talking about?
Did not rain during my commute.
The road still wasn't wet when you were driving in?
No.
Wow. That must have been a big bummer for you.
How much further?
Clouds were awesome.
How much further away or later do you leave than Owen? Like, Owen walked in, what, 5'10"? I want to say.
15, 20.
Yeah. I looked at
Yeah, like, my driveway was a little bit damp, but no, there was no rain.
Well, either way, please give yourself a couple extra minutes there and get ready to take the shore way or wherever you can, because
I feel like you're getting ready for Augusta. You're how are you going to tackle what the conditions are going to present this morning?
I think you're going to have yourself a mess on your hands basically every single day here and for the foreseeable future.
For 2 more years.
Yeah,
I've got my little traffic app pulled up right now. I'm seeing green roads.
Oh, we're good. Let's go.
Good. So far, so good. So be careful out there on your way in. And again, give yourself a little bit of extra time. Nick Barlage, CAF CEO, going to join us in studio coming up at 7:20. I have to ask him about this. With the gambling thing. Some people making a big deal about it. I know that some people in our, there's a lot of people in our mentions like, nah, not a big deal. Not a big deal. I think a lot of them might be people who might be waking up, checking the DraftKings and FanDuel and Fanatics and everything like that in the morning. But it's not, it's a train that's never going to derail and end. I don't think it's going to happen. You'll get to have your fun. You'll get to have your props. You'll get to have all of it. There's too much money to be made. They will just go after the people who impugn the dignity of the league and the process as much as they possibly can. But I don't think that they're ever going to turn away a way to make money in professional sports.
No,
I don't
you're, think never, you're never.
Your gambling
going the other
way. Is not ever going to be in. Now that it's open, it's not going to ever be in danger.
Well, it's a big part. So. It's a big part of the CBA and why the players are getting paid so much too. Are these relationships? Same thing with the media. I mean, it's all kind of intertwined. But Tim on X says you're burying the lead. The biggest issue is that Silver and the NBA investigated this and looked the other way. So to that, I do have a question because we went through this with our baseball team, and baseball, along with the FBI or whatever, investigating it. And they had to pull the players out. So Terry Rozier was pulled out. Then, I don't know, I can't say whether or not they technically cleared him. They just didn't find anything. So what are they supposed to do? Should any player, because then it feels like I could get any player removed from any sport if I just place a lot of money on their bet. Like you can't, what is the NBA supposed to do if they asked everybody around Terry and everybody's like, no. And then the FBI, if they don't talk to the NBA and say, no, here's the evidence we have, what is the NBA supposed to do?
Turn it over to the FBI, right?
Well, that's what they did. And if the FBI doesn't give them any more information or cooperate with them because it's a part of a larger...
Well, exactly. I mean, if you're dealing with organized crime there, like the FBI doesn't necessarily care too terribly much about what the NBA is doing unless they're involved with organized crime. Once they're involved with organized crime, you're going to keep things in-house. Like, listen, I'm not J. Edgar Hoover over here, but yeah, everybody knows that. You're only going to tell people what they need to know or if they can help you with your investigation. So maybe Adam Silver knows something a little bit different, or maybe NBA security knows something
a little bit different.
But other than that,
I'm sure they get rumors by the hour.
Yes.
About...
Yes.
Hundreds of players
especially the NBA,
that could be going on.
Because
Are they supposed to pull everybody out?
I know that the last couple of years hasn't been that big in free agency, but I mean, this is a league here where everybody talks to everybody. And I mean, I'm not just talking about the NBA. I'm talking about people who are family members. When free agency, now that the second apron, it's not as big of a deal, but when free agency was that big of a deal, people talked to everybody. I mean, what we had the shirtless Jim Tan selfie guy that you dubbed him, who ended up telling us that LeBron was coming back, and he ended up being right, by the way, wherever he is. Congratulations to him. I hope he's doing very, very well. But you had that guy who was a personal trainer. You've had barbers who tell people. You have police officers, firefighters who tell people, personal doctors, nurses who tell people, because everybody talks to everybody. So it doesn't surprise me that in the NBA, yeah, I'm sure their phones basically ring every morning with probably some sort of question or impropriety that goes on even before gambling, even before legalized sports gambling.
But in the end, I guess, I don't want to say the onus is on the books or the gambler, but if you're wagering on something like a prop bet, something like that, isn't it already baked in that you understand that, well, a guy could get injured 2 minutes in,
yeah,
and I could throw my bet off, or something like this could happen? Like, I think if anything, you know, it's up to you, like whether or not you are entertained by that game of chance. And it's up to you to decide, well, if there's a lot of smoke around this stuff, maybe I just want to bet on the game instead. Or maybe I want to bet on a first half number, like rather than so specific to a player that could be compromised so easily.
Cavs home opener coming up this weekend. We'll talk to Nick Barlage, Cavs CEO, about that, as well as a lot of other things going on in the NBA. That's at 7:20. Nick's going to join us in studio. Winning changes everything. Now, I've long called Dylan Gabriel a backup quarterback, and people get upset about that. Guys, I just think that's what he is, and I'd be more than happy to change that designation if he goes out there and plays well. I think Sunday, in so many ways, could end up being his Waterloo for a lot of fans. When you're dealing with a rush defense that is third in the NFL right now, that's pretty good. I know that you said that Jonathan had mentioned something like, guys, just get ready. I think they're going to abandon it. Well, if you're down by two scores going into the fourth quarter, the run game goes away. Now, you could put Quinshon Judkins out there if you want to, but I think in this game, you know, it could change the way people think of Dylan Gabriel. Because let me try to be positive about this. Like, if I were picking a team to win, I'm going to pick the Patriots, all right? That's how it's going to go. Obviously, I want the Browns to win. The Browns are going to win. I think Dylan Gabriel has to play well. I don't think that you can hide him anywhere.
It can't be like the Miami game where he doesn't have to do anything.
Exactly, where he doesn't have to do anything. I think he's going to have to play well in this game. Drake May's really, really good. He's doing it with a bad offensive line. Or he's got injuries across his offensive line. His left tackle situation's not that great. He's had pressure up the middle. He's been able to escape. He's been able to run for first downs. He's much better with his legs than I think a lot of people are about to realize coming up on Sunday. This is going to be a very, 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 very difficult test. And I can go back into the history, but let me just stick with these two teams. It's a really good quarterback. His offense is good. Boutte is very good at catching touchdown passes. I mean, they can put it on you. They really can. And that rush defense, I think, is going to do what they can to circle number 10 and cross him off the list. And then let's see if Dylan Gabriel can beat us.
He has
to play well to get a win. If they win on Sunday, does it change? Will a lot of people change their perspective of Dylan Gabriel? Can it change the thought of how you feel about Dylan Gabriel as a Browns quarterback, a future quarterback with one win over the New England Patriots? I have to say yes, because I can't see him playing poorly or them not needing him to win like they did against Miami to go out and beat the New England Patriots. I find it to be almost impossible.
Yeah, he's not going to just be able to screen them to death.
Yes.
Like, they're just not going to allow that to happen. And the one concerning thing to me is, like, Judkins was phenomenal on three runs in that Miami game. Well, on 18 runs or whatever it was, he was held in check at the line of scrimmage. So he was able to, because he's got some special juice to him, to break a few loose and make the most out of it. But, you know, yards per carry and all of that, and that was against, I think, arguably the worst rushing defense there is in the league. So what happens when he's going up against a team that's good at it?
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that's what happened. You know, Pittsburgh's defense hasn't been good this year, but Pittsburgh, they stopped the run. And then the Browns abandoned the run. So then it was a sitting duck. I mean, Dylan Gabriel had no chance. He couldn't see. Well, he was getting rushed from every direction. And it seemed like there were 20 guys rushing the quarterback because he got swallowed up.
I can't help but think it's going to change my perspective. Now, I can't see a scenario that I come in on Monday and say, franchise quarterback material, we might be cooking with something here. But I can see myself going, all right, we need to kill this conversation right now or put it up on the shelf about the backup coming in. Like, that being it. Like, if you're 3-5, you kind of got to look at it now. Especially 3-5, a bye week, and then the Jets. You got to look at things now and say, maybe this season isn't gone to hell the way that we think it's going to go to hell. Now, you got major decisions coming up that you and I are going to, if they win on Sunday, you and I are going to have arguments over the next week on what to do at the trade deadline. Because at 3-5, and in a not so great division, this division is not great this year, you have major decisions to make. And I think that Dylan Gabriel has to play well for us to have those conversations next week. I think he can change the conversation around him coming up on Sunday, but he's got to play well for them to win.
The rumor that won't go away for the Browns is the Garrett Wilson rumor. And again, there are legitimate reports that suggest the Jets might be willing to have a fire sale, and guys like Quinnen Williams and Garrett Wilson would be available in that event. But in terms of the stuff linking the Browns to Garrett Wilson, as of now, that is the rumor mill. And those are two very different things. I just think when it comes down to it, what Ross Tucker said when he was on with us about 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago, I think he's right when it comes to Garrett Wilson and the Cleveland Browns.
I would strongly consider that if I'm the Browns. I mean, because I know what you guys are going to say is, look what Flacco did with the Bengals. Why can't you do it with the Browns? And what I was going to tell you is, have you seen Ja'Marr Chase play football? Even to a lesser extent, T. Higgins. Like, I would take T. Higgins over Jerry Jeudy any day of the week. So that's two Bengals receivers I'd rather have than the Browns' best receiver. I think that's a problem. You know, you're going to have a young quarterback one way or the other. I think it'd really be nice if you had a truly high-end receiver. Jeudy is not that. I don't know that he's ever been that. I know there are some statistical years where he's been pretty good, but I would feel much better about Garrett Wilson than I would Jerry Jeudy moving forward.
I just think it's an obvious move. When you have a chance to get guys who could be top 5, top 10, top 15 at their position, and especially when they're 25, 26 years old, as long as the price is right, you make that move.
Well, so that's the thing. I can't find anybody that's saying no right now, and maybe this is where I should have been like, so Ross, would you do it for the first round pick, and or would you do it for which first round pick? Because at this point, it sounds like we're down to the negotiating table side of this. I unless you see a Browns fan that I don't, it does feel like everyone universally is like, yeah, Garrett Wilson, great at football. Let's do that.
Yeah, the only objection that I saw, and I thought it was interesting, is, well, what if it makes the offense too good to be this bad? And I think I've just decided I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that, too. Too good to be this bad? So well, so instead you win 6 or 7 games, and then your draft pick that you're sending off for Wilson isn't that high anyway?
Yeah. Well, I mean, or 6 or 7 games, and if you take the Jacksonville pick, well, now you don't have as much collateral to move up for a quarterback. Yeah, worry about that when that comes. Like, I think we've started to get out of operational order, and I understand, like, I've done it too when we tanked. I went all the way in on that, right? Hey, I didn't yell as loud as I should when you cut Joe Hayden over like $5 million. When you released 24-year-old Jordan Poyer over like $1.5 million. That, like, those are things that you do that are incredibly dumb to save a minuscule amount of money. With this, the NFL is a talent business. Now, am I a little afraid that I don't know Kevin Stefanski can deal with a big personality wide receiver, which Garrett 100% is, even if he's not as loud as OBJ? Yep. I'll also deal with that when that comes as well.
Do you feel like Andrew Berry at this point would make this type of move? I feel like Andrew Berry, he operates very similar to the Guardians in many respects. It feels like he's got to be on the right end of any trade terms, and he doesn't often end up in a spot where it feels like there's the slightest chance of an overpay.
Yes, and I think that's that. Ironically, it might be the place that I trust Andrew Berry completely in, is it's like whatever the price is that you're going to give for Garrett Wilson is going to be like the lowest price you can give while still making the trade.
Well, that's like, the hard part, though.
I don't
see
an AJ McCarron for a second and a third here.
I've trusted in him in that belief, but then the hard part there is that I do feel like there's another team out there, and I don't know which team this would be. There's a lot of teams that need wide receiver, and there's a lot of teams, like Giants come first of mind, that it would drastically help shape that room. And you're like, well, there's going to be somebody that's willing to pony up more than what Andrew Berry typically can pony up.
All right, so I don't know that this is why the rumor's out there, but I can understand if you see the Browns linked, if we do end up getting a report from a national person that the Browns are linked to Garrett Wilson, it wouldn't surprise me if a team like the Jets put that out there because people know about Andrew Berry's aggressiveness. Meaning that the Jets might be thinking, all right, who's a person, if we throw this name's connected to this player, people are going to go, oh, that guy's aggressive. He's going to pay some, he's going to, you know, like basically drive the sense of urgency for Garrett Wilson. I could see the Browns, if they're not truly interested in making this move because of where they are in their build, I could see them being used in certain talks because I think they have been previously.
I mean, but I just look at Andrew Berry and I see him like the fifth round trade for someone like Amari Cooper. And you look at like the deals like that Andrew Berry's authored up before, it doesn't scream first round pick trade for wide receiver. I'd love to see it, but it feels more John Dorsey than it does Andrew Berry.
So I think what's interesting is, I don't know, maybe Garrett Wilson makes you a 6-win or 7-win team as opposed to old 3-win Wilson over here.
Yeah, well, it's a future play, not a this right now play anyway.
I think it's both. I think that's the beauty of the move, is I do think it gives you a better chance to truly, like, there are no excuses with Dylan Gabriel there, even if the line's still a problem. And the same thing with Shador. Like, okay, you're giving those guys who you drafted a better chance right now.
Well, I do like that side of it.
To see themselves. And I think it takes some of the pressure off Jerry Jeudy to where he doesn't feel like he has to be the only guy in the world either.
Yeah, because right now it really does feel that way with Jerry Jeudy. When you watch him, like, the man is, he is pressing every opportunity. He seems like he's desperate for catches. He's desperate to not drop the football.
Well, but I talking about desperation, I think we're desperate for hope. And I think that's fair. Like, I think part of the level of anger that I've had on, again, in a season that I didn't think you were going to win many games. And I'm still very angry when I'm seeing a team defeat itself as opposed to being beaten, right? And a lot of that is driven from, it didn't have to get here. Even though I accepted what I thought this season was, it didn't have to get here. Like, the amount of mistakes that they made to make this happen is very frustrating to watch play out in real time. When we talk about, like, significant hope, trading for a playmaker like Garrett Wilson, that's the kind of thing that can inject you in hope. And even if it only takes you to a 6-win team this year, that is a chip that you can say going into next year's draft. If you end up with the 8th pick and you end up the 3rd quarterback off the board, you can go, well, now I don't have to worry about getting that guy number one receiver because we got one.
Well, and a small aside on this, and this is not the reason why you make the move, but it's a nice benefactor of this, is that it shuts people like Myles Garrett up. Like Miles will still
complain. I don't think anything's going
to
shut Miles up.
Well, he'll still complain, but it won't be to the degree. Like, I think the frustration with Miles has always been when it feels like just nobody else around him is giving nearly the effort or trying as hard as he is. I feel like that's when he gets agitated the most, or when he feels like he's playing for nothing, essentially. If you trade for Garrett Wilson, you're not going to make the playoffs, but you no longer have that thought of every week is just going through the motions.
Well, and whether it's Miles, and again, I don't like...
That's a
Miles,
jolt to the locker room in a positive way.
Just a real quick circle back is the way I answered it. People might take it as a shot at Miles. I don't think there's anything that should shut Miles up this year if you're going to end up being a 5 or 6 win team.
I like you trying to correct a shot at Miles there. That's
fine. Well, yeah, well, because I went very hard at him on Friday. Like, I wasn't taking a shot there. And I like to... when I take a shot, you'll know I take a shot. However, like with this, I think it'd be
funny if Miles was like, that's the one. Dang it.
Or if he was like,
that Nick, that's the final straw, Nick.
He's like, oh, he didn't take a shot, and he just checks that off the list. Like, okay, only one real aggressive shot in the last.
He's Buscemi in the Adam Sandler movie.
Billy Madison.
There we go.
Why did I struggle so hard with that? A movie I've watched 100 times. Now,
Miles putting the lipstick on his face.
I do think it's just easy
crossing
to check
Nick's name off.
Another thing off the list, though. Like, that's one of the reasons why, again, if I didn't think Garrett Wilson was a number one receiver, if I thought he was like Jalen Waddle at point, I think it was year two, had like 1,300 yards. And I remember thinking like, oh, they've got two number ones. And then I watched him play the next 3 years.
The rest of his career happened, yeah.
Like, Garrett's been a very consistent, productive player, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards.
With bad quarterbacks.
And I think it's just another easy thing to check off your list. Okay, now I've got a great running back in Quinshon. I've got a great wide receiver one in Garrett Wilson, a very nice wide receiver two in Jeudy, one or two starting tight ends, depending what you do with Njoku and Fannin. So then your checklist this offseason on the offensive side is get the young quarterback or get a veteran quarterback of substance and rebuild that offensive line.
That feels very manageable in one offseason. What you get to do is then try to do what the Bears did this last offseason, where they just put everything towards the offensive and really just the offensive line and getting that center and the two guard spots figured out. Like, that's then you get to mimic what Ben Johnson did, and that's a different conversation than what we're currently having around this team. I do find it interesting, and rightfully so. The amount of people that love him because of Ohio State is one thing, but we have to think about the age in this, because so many people are like, well, where's the conversations when it came to A.J. Brown? Because A.J. Brown, we didn't have these conversations. A.J. Brown is being shopped around to everybody. Patriots are going to be interested in that. Like, there's all sorts of teams that are in on the A.J. Brown sweepstakes. We're not one of them. Mm-hmm. That's a different story to me than what Wilson offers up.
A.J. also is making $30-plus million a year, and I think Garrett's making like 20, 22. 223 somewhere in there.
We just want a Wilson Browns jersey, don't you? That's what you really want.
That too.
That's an easy buy.
A fat man does not look good in single digit numbers. Even if he was number 10, right? Isn't that what he is now? Even if he was number 10.
No, he's 17.
Number 17. Yeah, nope. I look good in some linebacker jerseys, but I look in the 60s, 70s, and 90s. That's where I look good at.
Yeah, but it's your last name.
Yeah, don't care. Gonna have to ask him, like, Garrett, can you do me a favor and be 99?
Can you choose 87?
Can you choose a nose tackle number just for me so I won't look ridiculous? I'll look ridiculous.
I think it's an auto buy. I think if it's your last name and the player plays for your hometown team, I think it's an auto buy.
But then I'll be like, no, it's for my name, because that's my name.
Well, yeah, and that might be an argument in and of itself. He comes on the station, and you're like, so, Garrett, I'm the Wilson in town, just so you know, and we'll see how that goes.
You know, somewhere back, you know, we're related, so keep it in the family,
this is like
right?
This is like your rule at the station where you're the only Nick, and then and if any other Nick is like Padone, has to be addressed by his last name.
And then we get Henry Louis Gates on the show, and then it gets really uncomfortable for a small amount of time. That guy in Cleveland, Bonjour Bob, saying, if it's a second and a player, depending on the player, I'd feel more comfortable with the trade for Wilson than I would be in trading a first.
Again, but this isn't, you're not drunk at 3 a.m. This isn't Xbox. Like, you have to, a second round pick.
Yes, but it is the Jets.
But a second round pick isn't going to get it done.
Who are usually drunk at 3 a.m.
Xbox. They know you have 2 firsts, and they're going to start the conversation at 1 first, and then we go from there. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see if Andrew Berry wants to bite at this one.
Yeah, fair. But if you were to get him for a second, the laser eyes beams would just be out of control.
How about that second in Harold Fannin?
Look at.
He almost told me, with his eyes, he told me, you shut your dirty mouth, is what he told me right there.
There was a different word. Dirty, but then there was a word before that. 216-474-0092. The rumor that will not go away is that the Browns have significant interest in trading for Garrett Wilson. How much would the Garrett Wilson move change your viewpoint of where the Browns are at? That is a gigantic piece that you can check off the board for the next 5 years for the Cleveland Browns. We'll ask that of Ashley Bastock at Cleveland.com, though, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You know, we talk about the quarterback stuff. We talk about the wide receivers. And
we do?
Yeah, I think we've done that a couple times.
I can't wait until we don't have to have those conversations anymore.
I don't know that that's happening anytime soon, though.
Thanks.
I'm sorry. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. There was talk yesterday. We didn't really get a chance to bring it up. We just kind of dabbled in it because there's a little bit of chatter out there about trade deadline coming up and Garrett Wilson and trying to go after the Jets, Garrett Wilson. And, you know, I've heard all the shows have talked about. We talked about it for a second. You know, I heard rumors. I had people, friends that were texting me like, oh, Garrett Wilson, man, it's coming. It's going to happen. Browns are talking. The Browns are going to be talking to him. They're going to try to get. If you brought Garrett Wilson, let's just say, first of all, what would you trade? What do you think would be a fair and equitable thing for the Jets if the Browns were going to try to give something up? Would you give up your second first round pick for Garrett Wilson?
Probably.
I think I would, too.
Probably. I'd really do everything I could to get him for a second. Maybe a second and a third, something like that. But he answers the question, who's your top wide receiver? No disrespect to Jerry Jeudy. But see, if you put Jerry Jeudy and Garrett Wilson together, there's a nice combination. Then all of a sudden, the other guys are slotting Andy probably where they should be in the pecking order. But I think Jeudy and Garrett Wilson would be a wonderful combination. That'd be terrific.
The other part, okay, let's say you went with that premise. Could you be better served, though, next year taking those first round picks, the two of them, and selecting a quarterback with your earliest pick and then a wide receiver with your second overall pick? Or do you feel better knowing that Wilson has the experience in the NFL already and that you'd have a veteran there, which in some ways I think is much richer than a guy who is a number one wide receiver that you would need, that you would probably draft in the first round anyway, that I think the seasoning and the experience is worth rolling the dice compared to trying to bring in one, although you'd be bringing in one of the top wide receivers in college football, but with no experience. It's a fine line.
There's no guarantee that somebody you draft is going to come in and be really good. Name Troy Williamson, ring a bell?
Not really, no.
Exactly. I think 7th overall pick by the Vikings at wide receiver. You know, there are guys that you draft that just don't become anything. And I'll take the experienced, really good player right now for a draft pick any day of the week at any position, Andy.
Yeah.
Any position. If guy has 3 or 4 years on him, great. I'll give you a pick for him because I know that guy can play. You don't know. You don't always know if these guys are going to play, especially wide receiver. It's a tricky spot. You know, it seems to be, it's becoming like quarterback. If you really want to make sure you get a good wide receiver, you got to take one high. Look at all the Ohio State guys.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're talking about Wilson.
Well, yeah. They can play, Andy, and look where they were drafted. You know, those guys weren't slipping through the cracks and going in the sixth or seventh rounds and getting lucky.
No.
Which is, by the way, nothing wrong with that. Ask Stephon Diggs. He's made a career being a late-round pick.
No, and I also think we get excited, too, when you see, like, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I remember the first time I said his name when he was playing for Ohio State, you were like, who? You know, and now look what he's doing in the NFL. He's just absolutely tearing it up.
Well, there are so many of those guys. You know, what are there, 5, 6 really good Ohio State wide receivers? Yeah, in the league right
Olave.
Now.
I mean, I could just keep going down the list. You know,
Garrett Wilson,
Marvin Harrison,
Sure.
I mean, Harrison's not even in the same. Harrison's out almost 25th in the league right now.
You can ask Kyler Murray about that.
Yeah, no, that's true. Although Garrett Wilson's behind him. He's 26.
Right wide now. Receivers without good quarterback play don't soar to the top of all of these stats.
So that's why I ask you that. Are you willing? That's why, are you better off waiting till next year, taking the quarterback and the wide receiver, or trading that pick now and trying to get the wide receiver now for a guy that may on a team be on a team that team's trying to pick up a first-round pick? And
I'd try to not give up the first-round pick for him, or Garrett Wilson and a third for a first-round pick, something like that. Garrett Wilson is what you would hope a wide receiver you took in the first round next year would turn out to be. So if you had to, sure. I just wouldn't. Well, here's the other thought too, Andy. Can you make it contingent? Hi, whichever one of these picks is our lower first round pick is the one that we trade.
Yeah, wouldn't you think that's what you would do though, right?
I think you're allowed to put contingencies on things. I know you are in the NBA. Everything has a contingency.
I mean,
in the
what
NBA.
Are the odds of the Jacksonville pick flipping with the Browns pick?
Possible.
Yeah, why couldn't you?
Jags have what, 4 wins?
You trade a first-round pick, and it would be the lower of your first-round draw. I can't see the NFL.
I think you're allowed to do that. I don't want to sit here and flat-out say, yes, you can, because I'm not sure. But that's what I would do.
All right, we got folks that want to talk about it. Let's go to Wayne County right now. Charles is in Wayne County. Again, sometimes the phone lines have been quirky today, too, so there's a chance it may not work. But Charles, are you there? Yeah, it was worth a shot.
Was it really?
I think so. I think it was. I don't know. You know, the other question then that comes into play, Jeff, is how bad do you need to revamp that offensive line?
You need something.
And where do you think that pick's got to come from next year?
What you're probably going to end up doing, Andy, I would think you're going to draft a lineman in the first or second round, and you're going to sign a big-time free agent offensive lineman. And then you're going to have to make a couple of hard decisions. The hard decisions, I'll give you 5 of them.
Okay.
Is DeJuan Jones worth the continued investment of time?
I think they'll say yes.
I think so too.
Okay.
Is Joel Bitonio going to stick around, and do you want him to?
If he wants to, you let him, but I don't think he's going to want to. I don't know why. I just kind of feel like he could be at the end of the road.
Can you upgrade center?
Boy, that's a good question.
That's a question they have to ask. Can you up?
Unless you feel like, I mean, do you think Luke Whippler is going to be the guy that can move into that spot?
Well, that would be an upgrade. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
I don't mean Luke Wood, but that's what I'm saying. Do they think that Luke Whippler is an upgrade, or that some other center is an upgrade? You know, honestly, the Browns have a question at every spot on the offensive line for next year. I like Wyatt Teller a lot. I hope he's there for a long time, and I think Wyatt's good.
No way you're blowing up all.
I don't think so either.
You just can't do it.
And has Jack Conklin decided he's had enough at the end of this year? Now he's dealing with a concussion on top of all the knee issues. You know, Jack's a young man. He's got a young family. Now you got a concussion on top of all the leg issues you've already had. How long does he want to keep playing?
Where are they going with Zach Zinter? That's another, because I ask that every week. We do the injury report when things started, the actives, the inactives, and it's just I always kind of hold my breath to see what Nathan Zagura is going to say, because he always seems to have it before everybody else does. And you're like, okay, what are they doing with Zinter here? What are they doing with Whippler here? But more in particular, though, with Zinter, but it just seems hard.
Well, you drafted him high enough that he better
for Zinter. Yeah,
yeah, he better play at some point. But again, what's he play? Guard. What do you have? Betonio and Teller. What have they done? Gone to the Pro Bowl.
You know how many picks they have next year?
Right now it's like 11, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got two in the first round, one in the second, one in the third, one in the fourth, three in the fifth. We're really good at fifth rounders. You're looking at three in the sixth. You got the Jets and the Lions.
So how many is that, 11?
And then you've got four in the seventh. Although, wait a minute. No, they traded. I got two left. I think two left on that. Is that right? Four, two, two. I'm just kind of looking at their future draft round picks. It's just.
Yeah, but guess what? How many fifth, sixth, seventh round picks end up playing in the league? You'll probably,
especially for us,
you'll probably use those for ammo to try and schmooze your way up with some of those other picks as well.
Hmm. I just and then you have to throw in the next question: who's going to be making those picks? And do we think there might be some kind of a change at the end of the year?
Until
and then
further wonder, notice, it's Andrew Berry.
I guess we'll get a much better feel to see if they make moves or don't make moves around the trade deadline. True, right? If it comes back to taking on money and ownership says no, then you have to kind of wonder what they're doing with the front office. I don't think we'll know that until long after.
If the Haslams are thinking about making any changes in the front office, I would think they would not have Andrew Berry making trades at the trade deadline.
I agree.
They would
that.
Just say, yeah, you know what? We're good. Let's just calm down on all this and let's wait till the end of the year. That could be code for, yeah, we're going to have somebody else using those draft picks, so don't trade them, okay?
Unless they know it's a slam dunk player. I mean, if there was some player out, even the trade we're just talking about, Wilson. Like, if they think Wilson's there.
Who's they? Ownership?
Yeah, ownership, front office. If
the Magic Man? Paul DePodesta.
That's the only way I would tweak that. But you're right. I think you'd be a general manager with your hands tied behind your back if you thought they were thinking about making a change. I don't think they're going to do that, though. I think that if there's a chance to make a move, they're going to do it at the trade deadline. The question is, does it make them better for this year or for next year? And then that's why I think this week's game is so important. That's why when I look at this week's game, I'm like,
it's a pivotal game.
If they win, you know, despite the fact that, you know, we sit here and we do interviews and we talk to guys like Nick Costos who think I'm crazy. If the Browns win and the Steelers lose this week, that cramps things up, at least for a week, at least till after the bye break.
3-5 in this division after eight games has you still in playoff contention.
The problem is we're watching the offense.
So pay attention. Yeah, we see it with our eyes. Pay attention to this week's outcome. If they can go to New England and beat the Patriots.
We'll see.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.